Bible lesson today is entitled Deal with Your Sin. Deal with Your Sin. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, the words of Almighty God say this: For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So the word of God clearly tells us that each and every one of us is a sinner. Amen. And what's interesting, when I was witnessing to my mother and trying to lead her to the Lord, which I eventually did, but it took a while for her to see that she indeed was a sinner. You know, you get the usual reaction when you're trying to deal with someone and tell them that you're a sinner and need to be saved and repent of their sins. And her response was, well, I never did anything bad. I never murdered anyone and so forth and so on. But as I clearly continue to show her the scriptures and give her some examples of sin, it was like a light went off. And then from that on, she got saved once she saw that she was a sinner. Now, that's the bad news. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But the good news is this, that Jesus Christ dealt with our sin on the cross as it pertains to eternal life and the penalty of death. In Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 12, the Word of God says this: Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we see the Word of God tells us we are born condemned because of our sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, For the wages of sin is death. There's a payment for your sin and my sin. Amen. And that's death. Now we know the body goes into the ground. Amen. Goes into the grave and returns to dust. Amen. Breaks down, disintegrates, returns to dust. The spirit goes back to God, but the soul, which is the real you, and has all its five senses and its memory, either goes to heaven or hell. Amen. So that death is eternal death in a lake of fire. However, the second part of that verse says, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So because of the gift of God, you and I can have eternal life. Now, notice what the words of God say in the first epistle of John in chapter number 5, 1 John 5. In verses 11 through 13, the Word of God has this to say. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So, clearly, we're told here, amen, God has given us eternal life through his Son. And we can know, it says, that if you believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know, present tense, that you have eternal life. There's no question. You don't have to wait around until you die to find out. We can know right now that if you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye have eternal life right now. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, the Word of God tells us this: For he that he is God the Father, has made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, So God's Son knew no sin, and the reason that God the Father gave his Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Jesus paid the eternal price for your sin, past, present, and future. Amen. Now, but we still sin. Amen. And we must deal with it. You see, the cross did not exempt you and I from sin. It paid the penalty for sin, amen, but then it did not exempt you and I from sin. So how does God review your sin and my sin? Well, let's turn over to the book of Hebrews with me. We want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we want to look at verses 5 through 11. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, and we read this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof of all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So how does God review our sin? He will chasten you as a father does his son, with the purpose of yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. To get us back on the straight and narrow. Amen. So that's what will happen. And the thing is, it shows that we belong to him. Because if we didn't belong to God, he wouldn't chasten us. He wouldn't correct us. Just like an earthly father is not going to correct some other person's child, but his own, amen. So we see that, you know, it's not joyous to be chastened, but it does show us that we belong to God. He is our Father, amen, and that we go through it, amen, and it will yield peaceable fruit of righteousness unto us, amen. And praise God for that. He's just trying us to get us to live for him, to live a righteous life that we have obtained through Jesus Christ. Amen to that. So chastening, how does God view our sins? He will chasten us as a father chastens his son. Amen. We also now want to turn to the book of Galatians with me. We want to go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Amen. Chapter number 6 of Galatians. And we want to look at what the Word of God has to say in verses 7 and 8. We read this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Again, we're looking at how God reviews your sin. We're told here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, that God will allow you and I to reap according to what you and I have sown. So, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to reap if you sin. Amen? That's not how it works. Again, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. But if you sow it to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, how can you and I deal with our sin? Amen. The Bible showed us that we're sinners, every one of us. He shows us that we can be saved through what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, believing on him, but that we're not exempt from sin, because we still have, the flesh is still sinful. It hasn't been redeemed. It hasn't been born again like the Spirit has. No, it's still sinful. Amen. So how can we deal with our sin? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John, if you would. We want to go to John, chapter number 8, and look at verse 11 and see what it has to say here. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And of course, this comes from the passage where this woman has been caught in the sin of adultery, in the act of it, and these men bring her to Jesus and say, hey, here we are. She's committed adultery, and the penalty was to be stoned. So Jesus stoops down and writes on the ground, and they read it one time, two time, and then they start to leave one by one. He tells them, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. And they're leaving one by one, and all that's left is the woman caught in adultery and Jesus. And so he asked her, who condemns you? He said, no man. They're all gone, aren't they not? And he says, neither do I condemn thee. But notice what he says, go and sin no more. He calls what she did sin. So what you and I need to do about to deal with our sin is to call it what it is, sin. Amen. Not a fault, not an indiscretion, but sin. In other words, accept your responsibility for your sin. Remember David? David committed adultery. He had Uriah murdered, so forth and so on. And he should have been stoned to death. Amen. But God called David a man after his own heart. Why? Because David acknowledged and took responsibility for his sin. Amen. See, you will never correct the problem until you own up to the fact that it is your fault. It is your sin. Amen. So turn with me also. We want to look at in 1 Corinthians with me. And we want to turn to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. And notice what the word of God has to say in verses 31 and 32. Okay. 1 Corinthians. Let's get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we want to go to verses 31 to 32. Notice what it says here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 to 32. We read here, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And of course, in the context, Here we have the ordinance of communion. Amen. And we're to judge ourselves before we would take of the elements of the communion table. Amen. So we're to judge ourselves, you and I. You're to judge yourself. I'm going to judge myself. Now, as we continue along here, and we're talking about how can you and I deal with our sin? We, first of all, call it what it is, sin. Take responsibility for it. Amen. The second thing is you must cleanse yourself. Amen. You've got to do something about it. Amen. You've got to do something about your sin. Amen. So now let's turn in the Holy Scriptures to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 7, in verse number 1, we read this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh in spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Now, we know that when we're tempted, temptation is not a sin. Yielding to the temptation is a sin. But God has promised when we are tempted that he has made a way for you and I to escape that temptation. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, in the book of 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter number 10, and then in verse number 13 with me. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read this. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So we're not immune from temptation. It's going to come. And there's no special temptation made up for you that others have not been tempted with. Amen. But he says, I'm going to give you a way to escape that temptation. Amen. Praise God for that. Now, we're seeing how do we deal with our sin? We need to cleanse ourselves, to do something about it. God, when we're tempted, God's going to show us a way to escape. Take it. Also, we cleanse ourselves, how? By the word of Almighty God. Look at in Psalms with me. Psalm 119, notice, verses 9 through 11, what the word of God has to say here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God. In fact, in both accounts, in Matthew chapter 4, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, what did Jesus do with the devil? He used scripture to withstand the temptations of the devil. Three times the devil came to Jesus with a temptation, and he said, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written, and he quoted the scripture. Amen. So we can cleanse ourselves, amen, by God's words, by using God's words to avoid temptation. That's why we need to memorize it, amen. So then we're tempted, we can say as Jesus said, as it is written. And we know that the devil did flee. Amen to that. Now, Also, we know that we are cleansed through the word, which the Lord has spoken. Amen. We are cleansed through the word that the Lord has spoken. Notice what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and notice what it has to say there in verse 3. Jesus said this, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That's why it's so important for Christians to be daily in the word of God to get cleansed. Amen. That word of God is a cleansing agent to cleanse us from our sins, to cleanse our hearts and our minds. Amen. So then to deal with sin, our sin, we need to call it sin. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to do something about it. Amen. Thirdly, we must control our thoughts, because that's where sin begins, in the mind. Amen. Now, let's turn in the scriptures, if you would. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians, amen, chapter 10, in verse number 5, we read this, amen, "Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen. Now, we were told in the book of Genesis, amen, in Genesis chapter 6, before the flood, amen, in Genesis chapter 6, amen, in verse 5, we read this, Genesis 6, 5, we read this, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, in that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Amen. The thoughts of the heart. What comes out of the heart? What kind of things come out of the heart? Well, Jesus addressed that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, in verses 21 to 23. He said this, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Amen. So that's where, amen, the thoughts, the imagination of man's heart is evil continually. That's where these evil thoughts come from, man's heart. That's why we have to control our thoughts, because that's where sin begins, in your mind. Bring it into captivity. Amen. The other thing we can do, as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, is to purge our conscience with the blood of Christ. In other words, plead the blood of Jesus Christ and get it purged. Amen. So we're looking at how you and I can deal with our sin. Call it what it is, sin. Accept responsibility for it. Cleanse yourself. You've got to do something about it. Amen. And three, we must control our thoughts, because that's where sin begins, in the mind. The next thing is, number four, you and I must control our flesh. You and I must control our flesh. In other words, don't make provisions for it. Notice what it says with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 13, in verse number 14, we read this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So if you put on Christ, amen, then you can't make provision for the flesh in to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. You can't have Christ on, amen, and your flesh at the same time. Amen. So don't make provisions for the flesh. Amen. Now also Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, we read this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we are be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died. He died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. So a way to deal with our sin, your sin and my sin, is you and I must control our flesh and don't make provision for it. In other words, don't allow your flesh to control you. Amen. Yield to righteousness and not to sin. Then another way we should deal with our sin is you must control your fellowship with God by confessing your sin. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen to that. And then also, how should we deal with our sin? How can we deal with it? Now, repentance. Repentance due to godly sorrow. Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians. You need to see this. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 8 through 11, we read this. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For you were made sorrow after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world which worketh death. For behold, the same selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sought, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what a clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Repentance, that's how we should deal with our sin. Due to godly sorrow, a change in mind that causes a change in heart, that causes a change in direction. My dear listeners, God has forgiven your sin as it pertains to eternal life. He is holy and does not accept the sin that you continue to commit. But remember this, he provides his power and strength to help you defeat sin. Take him up on it. Amen.